We've got a word to bring with you this morning, which simply entitling Stepping into God's New Season. Because we really believe that there is a new season that God has got for you as a church. There's a new season for Tony and Ruth as they just take time out. But we really believe that there's a new season for you as a church. 50 years ago, I stepped into a new season in my life. It was the most thrilling and exciting season I have ever known. It was the day I met Janice. And we've been married 48 years, just over. And that season totally changed my life. And the wonderful thing is, I'm still living in it. Still enjoying it more and more every single day. We all recognize seasons. And life is about seasons. So let's just look up. Okay, we're in that season now, aren't we? Ish, we may get some snow, the winter season, then that lovely spring season, the summer season, and then of course the autumn season. It's autumn now, moving into winter for us. And what takes place in the natural also takes place in the spiritual. God is a God of seasons, and he will sometimes permit us to go through seasons that are part and parcel of his plan and purpose for each one of our lives. Some seasons might be hard. They might be barren and fruitless, like winter. Some seasons are fresh and new, like spring. And then there are other seasons where there's an abundance of fruitfulness in our lives, like the summer. And then there are seasons where things begin to just drop away, that is very much like autumn. And in Genesis 1 verse 4, God said about the sun and moon, let them be signs to mark off the seasons. So we see right in the beginning, God is a God of seasons. And that word season in the Hebrew language literally means an appointed time. Too often we get stuck in a past season, and we're not able to step into a new season because we fail to understand God's appointed time that he has for each and every one of us at different points in our lives. So I want to take you to a book in the Old Testament. It's a small book, the Song of Solomon. You get it just coming after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. I want to just look at a few verses in that book with you this morning, because Song of Solomon is a very romantic story in the Bible about pure love. It's like a dreamscape where of what Adam and Eve must have enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came along and spoiled it all. It's an expression of what pure unadulterated love is all about. It's a story of requited love. It's also a portrayal of God's love for his people, his church. And it expresses the kind of relationship that God wanted to have with his people in the Old Testament, but so often it went wrong and they were unfaithful. But it's a beautiful picture of the relationship that Jesus has with his bride, the church. So I want us to go to Song of Solomon chapter 2, and we're just going to read verses 10 through to 13. It'll come up on the screen as well. And it simply says this. It says, my lover said to me, rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Now, just as harvest indicates that one season has come to an end and another season is about to begin, so I believe that God is calling you as a church into a new season. And if we look at this passage of scripture, there are four key words that we want to bring to you today. I'm going to bring three, then Janice is going to bring a fourth one, because I believe these words help us to embrace and step into the new season that God has for us. How do you embrace and step into a new season? Well, let's look at the first word. The first word that I want us to pick up is the word arise. In verse 10, do you know that whenever you arise, you leave something behind? Now, I'm assuming that most of you are slept in a bed last night, unless you were working all night, but I'm assuming we have all got up this morning and we have arisen from our beds and we've left them behind. When you arise, stand up from a chair, you leave a chair behind. When you step out of this room this morning, you will leave the room behind. We leave settings behind. The word arise signifies that you're leaving something behind. The whole purpose of arising is to move away from where you've been. C.S. Lewis, that famous writer, he said this, that there are far better things ahead than we leave behind. And C.S. Lewis wrote this just a few months before he died. Now, this is a prophetic picture here in the Song of Solomon, and it's a prophetic picture of Jesus calling his church, the bride, to arise, because one season has ended, the season of sin, the season of guilt, the season of condemnation that we were all under. But through the cross and through the sacrifice of Jesus, a new season is here for us to step into. And of course, we understand that by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. But when we arise, what are the things that we need to arise from? Well, one of the things I think that often we need to arise from is disappointment. All of us face times where we feel disappointed. We become disappointed by relationships at times. We become disappointed by the choices that we make sometimes. We can be disappointed in people. We can be disappointed in decisions that are made. We can be disappointed in the way that things turn out. Perhaps there are those occasions when you might even feel disappointed in God. Perhaps you feel let down. Being disappointed is normal. Disappointment is dangerous. John Andrews said this: disappointed is an event. Disappointment is an experience. You see, disappointment is a condition that comes when we fail to deal with those times when we are disappointed. Disappointment tends to defeat us. If I take you to a story in the New Testament, there was a family that Jesus used to enjoy being with: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. One day Lazarus became ill, and they sent a message to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Will you come and lay your hands on him and heal him?" Jesus delays coming, and when he arrives, Lazarus is dead, and he meets Martha, who is disappointed. "Lord, if you'd have come here earlier, my brother would not have died," she said. And here she is, disappointed, and she's about to move into the experience of disappointment. And Jesus has to say, "This is all in the plan and purpose of God, so that I might be glorified." She didn't realize the miracle that Jesus was going to perform in raising Lazarus from the dead. You see, when we live with disappointment, it defeats us. It keeps us rooted to the particular season that has surrounded our lives. And so it is that we're unable to move on. It kills our dreams. It kills our hopes. It causes us to become stuck in a certain position. There were several people in the Bible who stepped into a moment of disappointment. There was a very important captain of a Syrian army. And suddenly one day he discovers he's got leprosy. So his king and master sends him to Israel and says, "There's a prophet in Israel. Go and see him. He has the gift of healing." And so Naaman turns up at the door of Elisha, knocks on his door. And Elisha doesn't even come out. He just sends his servant and said, "Well, go and have a wash 7 times in the River Jordan. He is disappointed. He said, I've got cleaner rivers back home in my own country, and I've made this great long journey, and you've told me to wash in this dirty old river in your country. I could have washed in a much nicer river back in my home country. He's disappointed. And being disappointed, he was about to go home and to return home in disappointment. But then somebody said to him, is it too big a thing just to go and wash in that river? And so he ducks 7 times in the River Jordan, and you know the story, how he is healed miraculously from leprosy. There was a rich man who came to Jesus on one occasion and said, Jesus, what do I need to do that I might have eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done all of that. Jesus said, there's one thing you need to do. You're rather rich, and your riches are coming between you and me. Sell all your riches, give it away to the poor, and then follow me. And the Bible says he couldn't do it, and he went away disappointed. He lost out on an exciting life by following Jesus. And then there were those disciples, do you remember, after Jesus had died, and they're on that journey to a place called Emmaus, and they're disappointed because it's the third day and there's no sign of what's happened to Jesus. And they feel that all their hopes are gone, and then Jesus joins them and begins to have a conversation. He says, why are you so down? Why are you disappointed? What's happened? And they start to tell him, and then suddenly their eyes are opened and they realized it's him. All of us face times when we become disappointed. Things don't work out in the way that we want. But if we live in a place of disappointment, we get stuck to the past, and it will hold us back from stepping into God's new season. Some of you, I feel today, need to arise from disappointment. Some of you need to leave some of those hurts and pains behind. Some of you need to just step aside and say, I'm not going to let this hold me back any longer. I'm not going to live in this place of disappointment any longer, because I want to step into God's new season, and I've got to let those things go in order that I might step into what God has got for me. We have to arise from disappointment. But also we have to arise from bitterness. You see, this is a result of feeling that you've not been treated in the way that you deserve. We all have expectations. We all want to be treated in certain ways. And sometimes when that doesn't happen, we can end up feeling bitter. And the thing is about bitterness, it is a root that will cut you up inside. The Greek word from which bitter comes from literally means to cut or to prick. Something that's sharp, that's pointed, that's piercing. That's why the Bible says, get rid of all bitterness. And you will never arise and step into God's new season all the time there is bitterness that's eating away at you on the inside. It won't work. New seasons require us to leave old hurts behind. Bitterness will lock you into a present season. When Janice and I were pastoring in Southampton, and we pastored the church there for 40 years, there came a point in 1999 where we discovered something very terrible had gone on within the church, and it had to be dealt with. The police had to become involved, and it was a terribly painful season. It was a season that directly hurt and damaged our family, and it was an awful place to find ourselves in. And out of that experience, half the church left. And it was terrible the way we felt so abandoned and deserted by people that we'd loved and cared for and pastored for many, many years. It was a season of disappointment. It was a season where bitterness could have entered in. But we chose to forgive, and we chose to keep our focus on God, and we asked him to help us through that time and to heal us. And you know, the amazing thing was that in early 2000, 2001, God began to bring about a new season. A Polish family came into our church. They couldn't speak any English. It was all kind of sign language. And Janice taught the wife English. And they came to put their faith and trust in Jesus. We didn't understand what God was doing. It all seemed a bit strange. We never had anybody Polish coming into our church, and we didn't know what this was all about, but we just loved them in the way that we believed Jesus wanted us to love them. Little do we know that a few years later, in 2004, Poland would come into the EU, and suddenly hundreds and hundreds of Polish people started to come. And in Southampton, there was something like 30,000 Polish people that came to the city. And we then found lots of them coming to our church. And this family that had come in the year 2000, just after 2000, they suddenly were our ready-made pastors. They could speak the language. And they began to pastor these Polish people. And we saw countless numbers of them come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. We had the privilege of baptizing so many of them. And today there are two Polish churches in Southampton that are a result of so many Polish people that came in and through our church during that season. We had several hundred. And God took us into a season of incredible fruitfulness. We saw more people saved in that season probably than we'd seen in the previous 20 years. It was remarkable. And it was simply because out of our pain, we chose not to live in disappointment. We chose not to allow bitterness to take a root. And we looked to God, and he stepped us into a new season where we suddenly saw incredible fruitfulness through the gospel. I want to ask you this morning, what things do you need to leave behind today so you can step into the new season that God has got for you as a church? Arise is God's word. But then there's a second word that we find in this passage, and it's simply this: come. Because here the writer says not only arise, but come. Come is a word of invitation. It's a word of intention. And God is always a God of invitation. Jesus said, come to me all you are weary and I'll give you rest. And that word is a favorite word of God. He invites us to come. Once we've come, then he wants to send us out. And God invites us to come to him so that we can journey with him. And when we do, he opens new seasons to us. God spoke to Abraham thousands of years ago. And he said, Abraham, I want you to journey with me. Come. And God said, if you journey with me, if you can count the stars, or if you can count the grains of sand on the seashore, that's how great your descendants will be if you come with me, if you put your faith in me and journey with me. God said something similar to Jacob. He said something similar to Moses at the burning bush. Something similar Jesus said when he invited his disciples to follow him. And in Jeremiah 29:11, there is that very familiar passage of scripture that you probably know very well, where God says, I know the plans I've got for you. God knows. But he only reveals them to us as we are willing to come with him and to journey with him. He knows. And as we walk with him by faith, he begins to unpack and to reveal the plans. He knows every season he has for our lives. And he wants us to journey with him. And he doesn't want us to miss a single season that he has planned and purposed for each and every one of us. God passionately cares about you. He doesn't want you to miss out on anything that he has purposed for your life. This is what God says. I love this passage from Isaiah. I've cared for you since you were born. I've carried you since before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. I want to say this morning, you are not an accident. Some people, some parents say about your children, oh, you're an accident. We didn't really intend to have you. That's a lie. You are not an accident. You are designed and purposed and intended by God himself. And God has got a plan for your life. But in order to come with him, two things are tremendously important. And it's simply this: God wants us to be obedient. God said obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants us to be obedient to the things that he asks of us, but then he also wants us to trust him. You know that passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own intelligence or your own understanding. Going with God, journeying with him, means being willing to obey him and to trust him, because he has our future in his hands. So we need to arise, we need to come on a journey with God, but also we need to see, as it says here. See, the scripture says. See, the winter is past, the rains are gone. I believe that there is a new season for you as a church. You see, we can't live in the old, we can't live in the past, otherwise you become a thing of the past. I grew up in Pentecostal circles, and there was a song we used to sing, and it went like this: let's go on talking about the good old days. I feel so much better when I talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days might have been good, but if you keep talking about them, you live in the past. God is not a God of history, he's a God of destiny. History is important, but God wants to take us on, and he wants us to see. That's what vision is all about. Vision is always about looking to the future, seeing what's ahead of you. That's why we don't have eyes at the back of our heads.
Except mothers.
Except who?
Mothers.
Oh, well, mums are wonderful, aren't they? You're right. So what do you see for your church? What do you see that God has got for you in the future? Do any of you know much about greyhound racing? I don't really know much, other than occasionally you see something on television. But greyhound races, you've got six dogs in traps, and all of a sudden this hare comes out on a rail and they run after it. They can't catch it because it goes too quick, but they do a circuit of the track, and the first dog over the finish line wins and people place bets. Well, there was a greyhound race, and the dogs were in the traps ready to go, and the hare came whizzing round, the traps open, but the moment the traps open and the hare passed, the hare exploded. Something went wrong. One dog kept running, crashed into the side railings and broke its ribs. Another dog looked up at the crowd with a mournful cry and sat down. A third dog just rolled over and fell asleep. And another dog just kept running, but he didn't know why. The lesson behind the story is that when you lose vision that gives you purpose, there's nothing in life to run after anymore.
Going to the dogs.
Going to the dogs, yeah. See, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where you can't see what you're running after, there is no point in running. And I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's simply this: are you living with imagination or living from memory? You see, the Bible says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. That's a very important verse of scripture. It challenges us to faith. It challenges us to look for more than we can see at the present time. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? I fancied being a steam train driver, because I grew up in that era with these great steam trains. Most children imagine, when I grow up, I'm going to be a policeman, or I'm going to be a doctor or an astronaut. There's that amazing imagination. When we get older, we stop imagining. We live from memory. If you come into our house, there are lots of photographs around of the grandchildren and different places we have been to. They're memories. Memories are important. But the problem with memories is they're always to do with the past. And as you get older, you live from memory rather than from imagination. There's the scientific and neurological evidence to prove this. This is why on one occasion God said to the people of Israel in Isaiah, he said this. He said, forget the past. Forget that I brought you out of Egypt through the Red Sea. I want to do something new that you have never seen before. Now, you could almost argue that that is a contradiction. Because when God brought his people, the people of Israel, out of their slavery in Egypt, there was what was called an angel that passed over. If you know the story, they had to paint blood on the doorposts of their homes so that when the angel passed over and it saw the blood, they would not be killed. It's a picture of God's salvation. And God said to them, every year you are to celebrate the Passover, to remember what I did for you and your forefathers. So faithfully they did it. Even to this day, Jews celebrate the Passover. We will celebrate communion this morning, which again is symbolic of what that Passover meal was. But of course, we're celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross. Here God is saying, forget all of that. But he told them not to forget it. Contradiction. God had told them to remember by having a Passover meal. But now he says in Isaiah, forget it. Why? Because they were living in the past and they could not see what he wanted to do for them in the future. So he says to forget that. Start to live not from memory but from imagination. I am able to do way above anything you can ask or think beyond your wildest dreams because I am the true and living God who is your Saviour. We need to see what God has got for us and the plans and purposes that he has for you as a church here in Salisbury. Janice, come and bring this final word to us as we draw this to a conclusion.
Paul. Morning. Paul has talked already three key bits here. Arise, my beautiful one, come with me and see the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Arise, come and see. The fourth word I want to look at this morning is in verse 12. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. Two significant parts of this verse that I want to speak on this morning, just briefly. Because the fourth important word that we see and we read this morning is the word to hear. Very, very important that we hear what God is saying. So he's asking us to hear the song that's been sung. There's a new season coming. The season of singing has now come to this church. Okay? I believe there's a new season for you here in Salisbury, and I want you to hear what God is saying to you today. He wants you to hear the singing. He wants you to enter this new season. But what is this all about? What does it mean? Is there a new sound that God wants you to hear within this house? You're the body of Christ here in this community. Is there a new sound he wants you to hear? Is there a new song spiritually that he wants you to sing? Is there a new song that's going to come out of this church, out of you as individuals, corporately, that will meet the needs of this community, that they can pick up in their spirits, receive, and come to know Christ? Is he wanting to birth new ministries in this church through you? We've already heard today you're taking on new responsibilities, and that's fantastic. Is there something God is wanting to do that's fresh in you, in your life, and also in couples and in this church? There's a new sound this church should be making in this community. And Tony's already talked about giving out these cards, these Christmas cards, inviting people to the church. And I guess there's a lot of families around here. This church could grow, it could double, it could treble, and it could multiply amazingly. If you hear what it is that God is saying to you as a church. So the only way we can enter into this new season as individuals and corporately is to attune our hearts to the Holy Spirit's voice. The sound of singing has come to this church. He's saying something to you this morning, and he wants you to hear it. And you will all take something away that's different and fresh, because what God will say will be to you as an individual, but also you'll come together collectively as a church and put this into practice. It's a new song he wants to birth in you today. Is it a song of salvation that will go out into this community? Is it a song of deliverance that will bring people in to know Jesus? Is it a song of providence? God is your provider, and you're going to meet people that will somehow need to hear this message. Will it be a personal song to you that will raise you up from where you are into a new ministry? That's really important. So Isaiah 35, verse 5 declares, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped." Now, we know that when we came to Jesus Christ as our Savior, he unstopped our ears at salvation. He opened up our eyes to reveal himself to us, didn't he, at salvation? But when you're part of a new season spiritually of what God wants to do in your life and in this church, then we have to look to the Lord to open our eyes to see what he's doing and to open our ears to hear what he's got for us. There's a fresh vision he wants to give you here. There's a new sound in this house that he wants to be heard, and that sound will impact your community and impact your lives. Now, we've all will pass through specific seasons in our lives. Paul's talked about in 1999 to 2001, we had a horrendous season when lots of awful things happened to us in our church. But we learned something through that season as individuals and corporate as a church. We changed immeasurably. We cannot begin to describe how we changed. In your church body here, there will come a time when you need to leave behind some of the past. Things you've held on to, things in your own life maybe, as Paul's talked about, bitterness and disappointment. But there are things in your church life that God says, okay, that's now the past. We're going to do something new here. Something fresh is going to happen. Raise your expectations and your aspirations in Jesus that there is a new sound coming, a new song for you to sing. New sound will be heard in this house. So we have to choose to leave the past behind with all that it contains and say, okay, God, I'm willing to go on to do something fresh and to sing a new fresh song in my life that will impact other people. This word applies to all of us. But for you who dwell in this house, and this is the house of the Lord here, isn't it? You're a body, you're a family here. For all of you, you need to take hold of this message this morning that the season of singing has come. Now, you've sung beautifully this morning. I'm not talking particularly about the songs you're singing, but something spiritual that God is putting in your heart that will change your life and impact your community and impact your families and your friends. I believe there is a place, a new place of abundant life that God wants to bring you into. Something you've never, ever seen before. God has done some good things for you here. We know that. You're good people. But God says, I've got a new season for you. Yes. It's ahead of you. It's waiting for you. This is a new day for this church. You need to catch hold of this message. So the singing of a song represents a spirit that's free. When we sing, we're free, aren't we, to sing? It's usually an expression of a joyful experience that we're going through. When we put our faith in Jesus, we sing these wonderful songs about him. This is expressive of the love we have in our hearts for him and what he's done for us. It's a new and a joyful song of salvation, freedom, deliverance. I believe God wants to plant in this church. You need to collectively sing it. You need, when you're praying, to say to God, when you're praying as individuals and you're praying as a church, God, what have you got for us as a church? What is it you want me to do? What are you asking us to do here? What new vision are you planting in our hearts? Something that's going to change this church forever in an amazing way, because God loves you and you are important here in this part of Salisbury. So God wants this house and this body here, it's his body, isn't it, to know his abundance and his blessing in great ways. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19 says, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Let your prayer be, Lord, can I perceive what it is you're doing? What you're doing in me, what you're doing in my family, what you're doing in my street, what you're doing in this house collectively. And ask God to let you hear the new sounds that he wants you to hear. It'll be peculiar to you. Maybe God will give you something fresh, a fresh vision, a new sound, a new song. But he wants you to hear it in your personal life and collectively as a church and corporately, because then you'll begin to start to embrace the things God has got for you. This is your new season of growth and blessing spiritually here. So secondly, not only are we to hear this new song of this new season, but the verse tells us, and this is really interesting, that the cooing of the doves is heard in our land. Does anybody know what the dove represents? We think of the Holy Spirit, don't we? The gentleness of the Holy Spirit, the dove, speaking of peace and gentleness. Now, certainly, if you look around our country at the moment, there's very little peace, isn't there, in our country? There's a lot of turmoil, but very little cooing of the dove. I think the Holy Spirit's voice has been quietened by all that's been going on. There's the Brexit turmoil. There's the anguish and frustration and disappointment of what's going on in our country. Plus, we see the results of crime, don't we, today? Anger and resentment on a daily basis in our land. It almost seems like the Christian voice has been snuffed out. That is not the cooing of the dove. The cooing of the dove comes through, gently, persistent. And, you know, even on Saturday, we heard about this awful Tower Bridge incident, didn't we? The killing of innocent lives. These people need Jesus. We need to be representatives of Jesus in our world. So we need to have these spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as an individual, but also what he's saying collectively to this house and to the church in Britain. Because we are part of something amazing, aren't we? The body of Christ in Britain, which is huge. And we need to make a sound. Cooing of the dove needs to be heard in this land, and we're promised here that we are to hear the cooing of the dove. It is to be heard in our land. So let's pray to have spiritual ears to what God is saying to us and what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's a message that needs to be heard. It's a message of hope, peace, salvation, and joy. Who else can bring that message to our world today and to the UK? It's us, isn't it? You and I, we need to hear the new sound, make the new sound, and bring that message of the dove, the Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you to be Christ's ambassadors today, taking his message of love and forgiveness to everyone you meet who doesn't know him. You can do this as an individual when you meet somebody for coffee, when you chat to someone in the high street, but also corporately as a church. You can come together missionally and to do something that will make a difference. So be determined to enter this new season. You're entering a new season this next year. Tony and Ruth won't be around, but God will be giving you a new sound, new songs. You'll be hearing something from him. And I'd like to encourage you, as you enter this new season, to hear what he's got for you as a church, so that when Ruth and Tony return, there'll be exciting things to tell them. Already, you'll have moved into new ministries. Some of you will be blossoming. You'll be budding into something fresh and new. This church will have grown. It could have doubled by the time they return from their little sabbatical. Amen. God knows what he has in store for you. And I want to encourage you to think big, to have a vision and a dream. This is a new season for you as a church. Take hold of it. Yes. Hear this message this morning to arise, to come with Christ, to see what he's doing, to hear this new sound that he's making in the church. And ask God to enable you to be carriers of his grace, yes, and his love and his joy and his forgiveness wherever you are, wherever you go. The season of singing has come, and the cooing of doves is heard in this land. Mm-hmm. Present tense, mm-hmm, is heard. Yes. You can be that voice and make that difference. God bless you all.
Just want to end with just a couple of encouraging stories. In 1953, all the Protestant missionaries in China were thrown out as China declared itself to be an atheistic state. They wanted to eradicate all traces of Christianity. In 2014, according to the Financial Times, there were 100 million Christians, Chinese Christians, in that nation. That number eclipsed the 86 million members of the Chinese Communist Party. And the report went on to say that if the Christian growth continues as it is, at the same rate, within the next 15 years, China will be home to the world's largest Christian population. That is the work of God. Today in Egypt, there is a phenomenal work of God where countless hundreds and thousands of people are turning to Jesus. In Iran, Iran today has some of the fastest growth of people turning to Christ, Muslims encountering Jesus and coming to know his saving grace. You see, God is at work in our world. And sometimes we look at our nation and we might think, oh, there's not much happening. But I want to tell you, God has not forgotten about this nation. He is building his church. There is a new season that God is at work in, and he wants us to come with him and to be part of it and to see the amazing work of his grace that he wants to bring about. Some research that was done just recently at Sheffield University, they came up with this. They said more people than ever are choosing to learn about religion and what it means for a world that increasingly believes itself to be secular. This challenges society to reflect on how it defines religious literacy. And that is a good thing. God then isn't dead. People are just looking for him in different ways. The average person out on the street in this country is genuinely interested to know about God. They've been disappointed by the church, but they want to know the reality of a God who loves them and cares for them. And the good news of the gospel is good news because so many people have never heard it in our nation today. And so God is not dead. He's at work. He is building his church. And you are part of the plan and purpose that God has. And there's a new season that he wants you to embrace and step into. Why? Because as the Bible says, with God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you are always for us and never against us. And if God is for us, then nothing and no one can stand against us. And we really pray that this season that is ahead of the church here will just be amazing in ways that we would never imagine, because you are such a generous God. And I just pray that you will bless and prosper this church in amazing ways in the months that are ahead, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.